You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Ta-da! The winner is Tata.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The Indian company Tata Steel has won the battle to take over the European steelmaker Corus. The deal values Corus at $11.3 billion. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The takeover will rocket Tata Steel towards the top of the pile. Last year, the company ranked only 56th in the list of world steelmakers. With this deal, it will rise to fifth place. Corus shareholders are celebrating. Their shares jumped nearly 7% on the news. But Tata's investors are nervous about the cost. Their shares fell more than 11%. This deal follows the even bigger takeover of Arcelor by the Indian-led steel firm Mittal. There's likely to be even more takeover activity in the future, says steel analyst Patrick Flockhart.
The steel industry is still very fragmented, and I actually think this new company will actually go forward and make further acquisitions itself, and there will be other consolidation elsewhere in the sector.
The Tata Group, which owns Tata Steel, is also likely to be active elsewhere. The company owns a vast range of assets, including Tetley Tea and Daewoo Cars. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Microsoft is setting up a research and development center in China. This is the first such center for the company outside the U.S. The facility will cost up to $20 million and will have a tech support team for the company's MSN Messenger. Messenger has over 20 million users in China. The world's fifth largest retailer is stepping onto the world stage. British company Tesco has just opened for business in Beijing, with plans to open 10 more stores per year in China. And later this year, the company plans to launch a store in Southern California. It will be Tesco's first entry into the U.S. market. The American stores will be called Fresh and Easy. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
It may be the biggest retailer in Britain, but Tesco doesn't get much name recognition in this country. Nonetheless, the company rivals Walmart in terms of global ambition. And as Morningstar equity analyst Mitch Corwin notes,
you can't be a global player without being in this country.
Tesco's first foray into U.S. business, he says, is a different approach from Walmart's.
They're looking to build smaller stores. You know, they're not building the big super centers. They're building more of like the size of a Trader Joe's.
Despite tough competition, Tesco's American brand, Fresh and Easy, hopes to distinguish itself by merging grocery store services with the speed of a convenience store. The move has the endorsement of investment icon Warren Buffett. In the last year, his company, Berkshire Hathaway, has gobbled up almost $1.5 billion in Tesco stock. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Time Warner is reporting a healthy fourth quarter profit. Net income for the company, which owns Warner Brothers and HBO, rose to $1.8 billion or 44 cents a share. A year ago, its profit was $1.3 billion or 28 cents a share. The company says an investment gain and an increase in AOL advertising sales helped boost profits. Consumer confidence eased up this month, and investor confidence wasn't too bad either yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow added 32 points to 12,523. The NASDAQ moved ahead 7 points to 2448. The S&P rose 8 points. It's at 1428. But a different story today in Tokyo, where the Nikkei slipped 106 points, due in part to troubles with Sony. The Federal Reserve wraps up a two-day policy setting session today. Almost everybody expects interest rates to remain the same. That prediction is in spite of signs of an uptick in economic activity in recent months. There is some speculation that short-term rates might get a boost later this year, just not now.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. And by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, for information protection you can depend on. More at fellows.com.
The marriage is over. DreamWorks Animation and Aardman Animation of the UK are splitting up. DreamWorks filed the papers. It brings to an end a five-picture deal that began in 1999. Only two films were produced, Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, and Flushed Away. Neither film pulled in Shrek-like dollars. Adam Daughtry is a European editor for Variety. Welcome.
Hi.
So what happened here?
Well, you know, Wallace and Gromit and Flushed Away were both films that that attracted a fair amount of acclaim, particularly Wallace and Gromit, which won a BAFTA for Best British Film, and did fairly well at the box office, but fairly well is not good enough. Flushed Away cost something in the region of $130 million to make. And in order for that to pay off, it's going to have to go into, you know, well into $200-$400 million worldwide. And in fact, the film is going to fall short of $200 million.
Did DreamWorks misjudge how popular Aardman's stop action style of filmmaking would be with American audiences?
Well, you have to say that it did. It's not really the style of animation, I don't think. It is the very British style of humor and creativity that Aardman represents. British films, even the most successful ones, you know, struggle to break through into a really wide audience in the States. You know, the films like Bridget Jones' Diary or you know, the Richard Curtis movies, you know, they only do $50-$70 million at the domestic box office. And so we shouldn't be too surprised that films like Wallace and Gromit and Flushed Away do similar figures. I mean, it was a very interesting gamble on the part of Jeffrey Katzenberg to put so much faith in such a very British brand and style of filmmaking.
How much of a financial hit did DreamWorks suffer in this arrangement?
I think it took a pretty big financial hit. I think analysts have estimated that the write-down on Flushed Away alone is over $100 million.
Jeffrey Katzenberg with DreamWorks said the companies had different business goals. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, DreamWorks' business goal is to make a huge amount of money, and Aardman's business goal is to pursue the creative vision of its founders. And this is a company run by creative people, by Nick Park and Dave Sproxton and Peter Lord, who are animators. They're filmmakers with a very unique vision. And all they want to do is to have somewhere where they can pursue that vision and somewhere that pays the bills. DreamWorks has a rather more pragmatic view that it needs to make some money.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Thank you.
Adam Daughtry, the European editor for Variety. If you're on the go, take us with you. It's easy to do because we're podcasting. You can get more information by visiting our website, which is marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.